more appropriate behavior, as well as pick up on some revenues. And please come back to us in 6 months with...
May I comment on
yes.
this before you take your final vote,
yes, you.
Director? I think that your motion is terrific, except I think that the group that has now been reformulated by the CEO with the new project manager that is now partnering with me on this project is moving forward very swiftly on this, and that I think this will delay the feasibility study that the group is already preparing that will come forward next month. I might suggest that if you trail this for 1 month, we will come back next month with a further update, as was indicated in March. And then if you still feel you need a separate feasibility study, you might want to go forward at that time. But otherwise, the information we may be ready to come back to you with next month may be adequate for your needs, such that you won't need to delay the project going forward by doing another independent study. That would be my recommendation.
Thank you. I have one speaker on this. It's John Walsh.
How can you compare fare evasion in New York, where they have locked gates and turnstiles that are locked? Here we have a system, and everybody knows it. It's fare evasion. You're inviting fare evasion. You're not punishing fare evasion. You built the system for hundreds of millions of dollars, and you didn't lock it. The LA Times has not done the story. And I can tell you, the day I get a story in the media, you're going to lock the gates. You don't lock the gates. They're free spinning. Everyone walks. And in fact, the fare evasion hasn't gone up. The reason it hasn't gone up is you spent hundreds of millions of dollars, and Mr. Katz knows, for a system that doesn't work, that you're not working, and sits there. And if anyone wants to come and take a free ride on the subway, everyone in America knows. And you have an IG here who's an acting IG because you won't appoint her because she doesn't have the qualifications to be appointed. And where's the mayor? He lurched in and he lurched out. He was high on drugs.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Is there any?
I know when people are watching.
Director Fasana.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My only comment, I think, is mindful of the input that we received. If working through, there is some path forward that actually does show that there really is something coming to us more quickly, that this would be a delay. I mean, I'm willing to approve this today. But I would also hope that there is a jumping off point if we do decide after next month that there are ways to actually modify your motion if there really is a path forward that is coming forward to us.
There's always a jumping off point every month. There's the slate essentially is open for any modifications or suggestions.
Because I think there is frustration in terms of the length of time that this has taken, but I think if there really is some movement here, I don't want to stall that either.
So, as a clarifying question to that point, the 6 month, you don't want us to wait 6 months if we don't have to.
No.
Right? So if we have something sooner, we'll bring it back sooner.
Right.
Okay.
It should be within six
right.
months, not in 6 months. Okay. Any other comments? Director Katz.
I think it's fine. I thought there was something going on already, though, that we were doing that'll be ready next month.
There is work in progress, and we'll bring it forward when we're ready.
Could you just tell me the difference between the two?
Erin?
There isn't necessarily a difference, except right now you have staff working forward on this, and I gather from the motion that it would require the CEO to do an RFP to go out and hire consultants to start a whole evaluation process that's almost complete already by staff. So that's why I was recommending that we trail this for 30 days. And if you're not satisfied with the recommendations that staff may be able to come back with in the next 30 days, then go forward on this if you choose. But otherwise, you may be spending money unnecessarily. And we all don't want to spend money unnecessarily in the agency. So that's my only recommendation.
I mean, I'll defer to the chair because it's his motion along with the supervisor. But do we believe this report won't come back, won't be adequate, or hasn't been? I agree with where you want to go, Ara.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get there. I agree with where you want to go.
How can I best say this?
I'll just blurt it out. That's what I do.
I
Look what
I think,
it's done for me. You know.
this has been in the works for a while, and I personally am not satisfied with the alacrity of the progress. So I'd like the CEO. He has a bench. We don't have to go through an RFP. You have authority to do that, and we'd like to move on it. And if it's something that can be folded in, that's fine. But I want to move forward on this. We need to get going on it.
Okay. Can I ask? Let me ask you one thing and see how if it doesn't. But what if we ask the CEO to go through the bench, identify, and talk to who he thinks would be appropriate, not award the contract until we see the report in 30 days. If we're unsatisfied with it, if you're unsatisfied with it at that point, he can go then award the contract, but at least we get to see the report first. And then he's already done the work so that, you know, if at that board meeting folks aren't satisfied, boom, it's ready to go. Because, you know, I don't know. I mean, if not, we'll stick with what you...
I will say I think we've made more progress on it in the last 2 weeks. I don't know the full history going back 5 years, but...
Well, that's because we were making noise starting 2 weeks ago. Well, we started banging the tables.
I also respect a different interpretation, but we have a new project manager, and Karen and he and I met three times over the past three weeks, and having nothing to do with table banging. We're prepared to bring that back. You know, if you're unsatisfied in any fashion, then we'd be pleased to move forward with a consultant.
Director Fasano.
Yeah, I concur with what Director Katz has said. I think if we get something back in a month, and if maybe you adjust what you've done, maybe we don't need to do what you've done. Maybe it just reconfirms that we need to move forward with where you're at. But I don't want to preclude if there really is and has been progress made, if it does reflect the needs and concerns that we all have, that we'd be able to move forward with that.
Well. I just am not happy with the progress that this has made. This was not something new that we dropped on the table. I mean, I gave you the history on this thing, and this goes back years and years, and now you're saying just one more month. It may not fall on you, Mr. Leahy, or any particular individual, but as an agency, we've really dropped the ball on this. It's something we need to move forward on. There comes a point where you just have to say, let's just go a new route and not wait another month or another 2 months for this sort of thing. I mean... Mayor Villaraigosa was talking about this in 1992, Director Burke in 2006, and here we are 4 years later, we still don't have this. It's not that complicated an animal. I mean, I sat down with the presiding judge over a dinner, and we, you know, talked about this and made had a great understanding of where it was going to go. So I don't know. Director Antonovich, since you're co-authoring this with me,
This will help expedite our ability to resolve these cases. I mean, it's important. We ought to do it.
And
it's going to save time and money.
The TAB, I understand the purpose of that. I think what's being said here is that if we delay bringing the work which has been done so far, if we delay that work from bringing that to you and proceed, in fact, towards bringing aboard a consultant, that will not expedite and speed up. That will delay.
But what you have here is a kind of a time frame that's going to drive the conclusion that has to be achieved if we're going to save time and money.
As regards the goal, I understand your comment. I think we're on a process question here.
Well, let me say this. If there is work that has been done and facts that have been found, then I think there's no reason why that has to be thrown out, but rather folded into a consultant that's going to use that and move forward. It shouldn't slow him down. He should use that. That should speed his work up. So let's just vote on this, up or down. And if it's down, it's down. Director O'Connor.
Right, I just want to add, I don't see how waiting 1 month necessarily hurts. Let's get the information. There's time and energy and resources that are put into that report. It may not be adequate, but let's see that as a board. Let's have access to that or whatever they can provide for next month. Let's tee up the planning bench so that if we want to take action then, we have that ready and have information that the whole board can assess as we move forward.
Wow.
I had seconded the original motion, but if that's a substitute, I'll second it.
And that is, can you...
get the information, whatever they have needs to be to us next month. You know, we're not going to say, oh, if somebody says we need another week, no. We want to have the information that is ready at the timeline to go out for our committee for next month. That way we as a board will have an understanding of what has been done, and because there has been resources by the agency put in to accomplish something, maybe not adequate, but accomplish something, and then have the planning boards teed up and or whatever mechanism we would need that the staff would see to recommend so that we can move forward in an expeditious manner.
Would this come before us, if we took no action today, would this report have come to us next week, next month?
Yes, sir, I
believe
so.
Ready for the board staff briefing?
I believe so.
Well, that's critical because, you know, we've got to run it through the board. So would it be, what is that, 3 weeks then from today? Is it going to be ready in 3 weeks?
If we vote on that, it gives...
The answer is yes. The answer is yes to the questions.
Okay. Well, then we'll adopt your motion. I'll withdraw my motion.
Well, but I'd like to also have in there, though, that I'd like the CEO to go through the bench, determine who he would go
to be prepared.
To tee up the planning bench so it is ready.
Because I think we all want to go where ours is going, so.
Okay. Yeah. Director Antonovich, how do you feel about that? You're okay with that? Okay, so the motion as stated by, substitute motion as stated by Director O'Connor, seconded by Director Fasana. Any objections to that? Okay, that motion passes.
Thank you.
Item 24.
Good morning, Chair and members of the board. In the interest of a busy agenda, I'm going to be brief and leave it to you to ask me any questions. This is the fifth year that we're presenting the agency-wide risk assessment and asking for a review and approval of my fiscal year 11 audit plan. We added five external agencies that received significant funding from Metro to our risk assessment this year. And we have six top risks. Three of them are from those external agencies, and three are internal risks that are considered key risks, and that would be operations area, Measure R projects, safety, as well as ASI, Expo Authority, and Metrolink. I've included used the risk assessment to build the audit plan for this year and based it on the resources that I have available. So I'm asking you to adopt the FY11 audit plan, and if you have any questions, I'm here to answer them.
Thank you. I have three speakers, Arnold Sachs, John Walsh, Dr. Clyde Williams.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Arnold Sachs. Notwithstanding Supervisor Antonovich's remarks, the risk assessment in regarding the Foothill extension, because the Gold Line Construction Authority, according to this letter, this newsletter from the Transit Coalition, specifically the Metro Board approved a funding agreement with the Foothill Extension Gold Line Authority, where the latter will receive up to $810 million in Measure R sales tax money. This was done on March 25th. Yet the action taken by the board on March 25th was an agreement with the Pasadena Metro Blue Line Construction Authority for the same amount of money. So notwithstanding, who would you audit in that situation? The people who got the money, which would be the Blue Line Construction Authority, or the people that you want that are being led down over the cliff and led to believe the Gold Line Construction Authority is doing the actual construction? Who would you audit in that case? Just out of curiosity.
Thank you. John Walsh?
Wave.
Dr. Clyde Williams? Not here. Okay. No other comment.
Move approval of the recommendation.
For a second? Any further discussion? Any objections to this item? Okay, thank you. This item passes. Item 25.
Item 25 is also mine. At the July 2000 Operations Committee, we were directed to do a review of the single bid and non-competitive procurement process, and we issued an audit report, and I'm here to talk briefly about the audit conclusion and the significant issues we found. Basically, procurement, we looked at calendar year 2009, and they completed about 19,000 procurement actions. In most respects, they're complying with the regulatory and policy requirements as well as industry best practices. There is some room for improvement. Procurement focuses their efforts on facilitated project management needs, but they also need to balance schedule and budget with compliance to the intent and spirit of procurement regulatory requirements and board-approved policies. We identified six significant audit issues and two best practices and suggested some recommendations, which procurement has agreed to and is in the process of completing. So if you have any questions for me or any comments or issues, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Director Ridley Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to acknowledge the work of staff in this instance. There are 6 points that have been called to our attention, which are not to be viewed as inconsequential. What I think I'd like to know is the 20,000, actually 19,152 procurement actions that took place during the time under consideration. You did a sample of those, is my understanding correct?
Correct. We actually stratified it into different levels. And so all items that came to the board, we looked at 100%, and then we stratified single bid and then sole source or non-competitive.
Can you give us an indication of the amount of money these transactions represent?
Off the top of my head, I don't have the total amount of the transactions, but I can get it for you.
The board would be well served to know the volume of dollars involved here. You talk about 19,000 procurement actions. Is there an average involved here that you can think of off the top that would give us some clue? My concern is simply this. I brought this forward because I know this is the point at which companies are advantaged and are disadvantaged, and it happens at that point where a lot of discrimination can, in fact, take place. Your six significant audit findings corroborate the concern that I had in the first instance. And I think, Mr. Chair, we all ought to be very concerned about this with respect to how procurement, particularly on the issue of sole source contracts, takes place. I think the instructions pursuant to the audit is that the staff is to return by June 30th. Mr. Chair, is the CEO here, or the deputy CEO is here on that. Are we expecting compliance with the specific time, and in what form will that take shape? Question. Are we expecting compliance, and in what form will that take shape? CEO, deputy CEO?
Please.
I can talk to I believe the chief administrative services officers in the room, but I can tell you that they did meet the training deadline that they set for themselves this last week, where they brought in every contract administrator and buyer in the agency and sat them down and went through the requirements, went through the checklist, told them there was going to be management oversight. If Michelle wants to come up and talk a little bit more about that training, I believe it was an all-morning training with her staff.
And how many people did that entail?
Sure.
Good morning. Yes, on Tuesday of this week, we trained approximately 70 people. I haven't completely gone through the sign-in sheet as yet, but there were about 70 people here in the boardroom, all of the buyers, all the CAs, all the estimators, and then the people who work on our FIS system with us to record our transactions into FIS. We are making a modification to the system so that we can better track sole source and single bids electronically. instead of having to do this manual effort that Ruth had to go through to try to determine. Then we'll be able to answer questions for you like, well, what's the dollar value of sole sources and what's the dollar value of single bids? After we have completed this modification, which we will have ready in July, each contract administrator will note that in our FIS system. So we will have that electronically. In the meantime, we have revised the checklist as we agreed to do. Each contract administrator must follow all of these steps on the checklist, and they include justifications. They include making sure that all of the items on the checklist are, in fact, documented and in the files as were in the findings.
Right.
So we have completed the things that we said we would do by June 30th. But of course, this is an ongoing. We must continue to be diligent, monitor, and make sure the managers are going to be signing off on the checklist for each procurement. To ensure that the CA has, in fact, included the items, the documentation that is supposed to be in the file that was pointed out in the audit.
The question I would ask is how frequently, when is the next audit scheduled? The inaccuracy of information recorded in FIS is a concern. How do we know that that gets straight, particularly when you couple that with the next item in terms of the vagueness, guidance, often enough coming from the board, which gives differing responses in the board procurement summaries. It's almost as if you can never get to the bottom of it, and it's almost as if further it's willfully vague so that you can't get to the bottom of it. That's hugely problematic, particularly when my guess is we're talking about millions and millions of dollars.
In regards to
a gaping hole here that needs to be shut tight.
In regards to the follow-up, we report to the board on all open audit recommendations until they're closed. And I have an escalation process in place where we follow up with Michelle's staff. They have to provide they can't just tell us it's closed. They have to provide us documentation. We validate that. Once that's done, Director, what we will do is go back in and do a follow-up. I don't want to do it too soon. I want them to get the hole fixed, right? I want them to start the process and practice and get comfortable with it. Yes. Then I want to go back in and say, yes, it's working. No, we still have some issues we need to correct.
You want to go back when?
My guess is if you're doing it July 1st, we could probably go within 6 months. We want to see that process in place and be able to have some history to tell you, yes, it's not just hearsay. We can validate it with documentation.
Mr. Chair, pursuant to the adoption of the item before us, number 25, I want to suggest that we hear back from the auditor at least preliminarily within a three-month period. If you want to come back in six, that's fine. But I'm very concerned, particularly in light of the significant findings to which you have directed our attention. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Director Fasano.
Just that there are serious findings in this audit. They need to be cleaned up. I appreciate the work of the auditor to find these efforts in the areas of noncompliance. We need to fix them, so I concur with Director Ridley Thomas on that.
Okay, and that time frame is okay with you?
Yes, I can bring it back to the March board meeting for you, or the EMAC.
September.
March. I'm sorry, I'm thinking January. Sorry, the September board meeting is fine. We can make it.
Okay. Then if that was a motion and seconded by Director Fasana, with no objections, that will be.
I have.
Oh, we have a comment and a request to speak. Director Du Bois and then John Walsh after Director.
I'm going to preface this by saying that I am a huge foe of micromanaging. Okay, I don't think that's a bad way to run a railroad. Having said that, thank you for your request, because it seems that we need to be more attendant to what's going on in the organization, not just in this area. There are some areas that perhaps aren't as tight as they should be, and That doesn't happen overnight. It's not. Yesterday it was perfect, and tomorrow it's not. So I thank you for your hard work and your group for their hard work, and hope that the signal is being sent to others so that you won't find so many holes, not only in procurement but in other areas of the organization. We obviously need to continue looking very closely at how we operate. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Walsh.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Supervisor Ridley Thomas was not in any way micromanaging. He asked a simple question. Give me a dollar amount. What are we talking about? She couldn't, the auditor here couldn't even come up with a figure on how much money was here. She's supposed to have that at her fingertips. As you notice, the mayor disappeared again, but I'm telling you right now that that there are two tickets for him at Johannesburg at the World Cup. They're free tickets. They're at the door. Go to the World Cup on John Walsh. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We had, the motion by Director Ridley Thomas. Second. Any objections to that? Okay. Such will be our decision. Go to item 37.
Hold.
We'll come back next month.
Hold,
with that.
Okay. We did 42. Let's go to 43.
Move approval of this item.
Comment. Okay. Is there any discussion on item 43? Okay. If there's no discussion, is there any objection to item 43? Okay, item 43 is passed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 44, state legislation. Mr. Turner.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move approval of the staff recommendations.
So if I could just, I believe item 44D was going to be moved over to the July meeting.
Okay.
Okay, 44 A, B, and C then.
My motion's A, B, and C. To be determined.
The incompatible offices. Are we safe, Mr. Turner?
No, we're not. Right. There were some amendments to the bill that were made this morning. They do not resolve the concerns we have with the legislation. There were some amendments that have been proposed by the League of Cities, and we're working with their representatives and reviewing those amendments to see if they address our concerns. But the bill, as amended today, does not resolve the concerns we have. Primarily construction authorities, but it could be other areas. But our primary concern, our first concern, is the construction authorities.
Thank you.
Okay. Director Katz.
Yeah, my understanding of the dilatory bills, it started out having to do with an issue at Water Replenishment District.
Right.
It grew out of that. Is the author receptive to dealing with that issue and making sure, because my impression in the conversations that I had had with him just in general was that, you know, he's not interested in causing problems for other agencies. He's willing to work with other agencies. And so is that what we're finding out on that?
That's correct. And there is an amendment that's been proposed by the League, which is very general, which he has not accepted. We are suggesting that we should look at an amendment that deals specifically with transportation-related agencies. So we're going to be working with the Self-Help Counties Coalition and other transportation agencies to try and move something specific to that.
All right, Mike, if you could go back, this is the one I was more concerned about, the Sumitian bill. Vehicles meeting high occupancy vehicle level shall not be charged in the toll. That was part of the deal we cut with the feds.
Right.
So why do we oppose the bill?
Well, because
the bill was at statute what we had agreed to.
It's not just an issue of our congestion pricing program. It's the it also has implications to if we want to, number one, expand our program, and if there are, if there's a need to, at some point, increase the occupancy limits on the carpool lanes in general, it puts another requirement in. So the impacts of this bill are not just on our congestion pricing program. The bill was actually held in committee, so, it's not going, it doesn't look like it's going anywhere this year. So,
Yeah, I'm concerned having an opposed position on this bill simply because when we negotiated the congestion pricing experiment with the feds and with the legislature, part of the agreement was that we would not charge because we didn't want to discourage people who are already, you know, two and three per car from using the HOV lanes.
That's correct. I understand the concern, and we can adjust our position accordingly. The reason we took the position of oppose was not specifically related to the congestion pricing program. So we can modify it.
Can we modify that to work with author then?
Sure.
Because yes. I just think, you know, we made a deal with the feds. We're gonna honor that deal. I understand your issue. Yeah. But it's hard to, you know, we support the part that only applies here. So if we could change it to work with author, I think we'd be in better shape and more consistent with us.
And just to put a little specific detail on it, the second part of the bill has to do with when, if there are going to be changes to the occupancy limits of the carpool lanes, this would add a requirement that the legislature be notified of those changes when right now it's an administrative procedure. So I would say that would probably be the more primary concern with this legislation.
Just notification or approval?
Just notification.
They send them a letter and that's all it requires.
But then it leads to committee hearings and a much different process is what we're concerned
about. Yeah. All right. So. Let's, if that's
Mr. Fasano would accept that as a friendly amendment to 44A to make it a work with author.
I will. I mean, I have concerns that we still maintain sufficient flexibility, even in terms of what you said, in terms of the administrative versus the statewide approval on changing the occupancy level. So I am concerned about that as well. I'm willing to go work with author on that. I still think oppose unless amendment's appropriate on B.
On B, okay. We won't change our position on B or C. I have a comment card from Mr. Sachs.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon again, Arnold Sachs. Notwithstanding your support for bills in the state legislation, in the March 25th meeting, we know that according to this motion by Supervisor Molina, SB 504 by Representative Kuhl was adopted in 2003. You supported that. Yet the SB 1847, which was put together by a Councilor Representative Schiff, which created the gold line, the blue line construction authority. How'd you stand on support of that? I mean, the county board of supervisors on April 6th sent, had a most action that failure to uphold the state contractor's license pursuant to state business and professionals code. Yet the utilities code, the public utility code that creates Chapter 6, Pasadena Metro Blue Line Construction Authority. You didn't uphold that. So what the heck does it mean? Why does it matter? Who's got the money, by the way? The Blue Line Construction Authority or the Gold Line Construction Authority? Could you clarify that again?
We have a
thank you.
Motion.
Is
there a second? Is there any further discussion on 44ABC?
Motion as amended.
Motion as amended. Okay, with no objection, those items pass. Okay. 47. The alt car. Yes, Director Ensign.
The motion was honor relative to participating in the alt car expo in Santa Monica. This is dealing with alternative fuel programs. The cost is $5,000, but it has wide outreach and publicity that will further educate the people on alternative fuels for TA sustainability goals through their partnership with the ALCAR.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Any cards? Okay. Is there any objection to 47? 47 passes. 48, please.
Yeah, so I can go on.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Item 48 is consideration of a series of motions related to the SR 710 gap closure. The motions put forward by Director Katz, by Director Huizar, and by Director Antonovich Fasana. Staff has analyzed the information in those motions, and we have in this item a recommendation that all of the items recommended are accomplishable with one exception. In Director Huizar's motion, one element was to direct the CEO to eliminate the surface route at this point in time from further consideration. We consulted with legal counsel as well as with Caltrans and their counsel. They've advised us that one item would put us at a disadvantage in CEQA. In CEQA, if a CEQA challenge is to the project, and suggested that would be an appropriate item for us to address as an immediate item under scoping through the environmental process. And with that, sir, I'll take questions.
But wasn't that the subject of the previous lawsuit and the the previous EIR?
The previous EIR did document the disadvantages potentially that would occur from a surface route, but again, the result was that a staff process that would concur with that and remove it from consideration during that scoping element would be a much more appropriate place for us to be legally should there be a CEQA challenge to the project, sir.
Okay. Let's go to Director Huizar.
Thank you very much. And thank you for your analysis on that. I understand the legal issues involved with excluding the surface route in this environmental review. When I originally put in this motion, my intent was, since we've analyzed the impacts of the environmental impacts of the surface route, should we do that again, knowing those full impacts, and that it seemed that we were moving forward towards the subterranean alternative anyway, I thought we should put some finality to that, get it out, and make it clear to everyone in the region that's been concerned about the above ground option that it's no longer on the table. But given the legalities around this, I understand that, so I'll delete that first section of the motion. However, I do want to keep the second part of that motion, which states that if the environmental process moves forward, the Metro consider the negative impacts a portal constructed north of Valley Boulevard will have on the residential neighborhoods in the community of El Sereno. And the reason I want to put that in there is because I strongly believe that any portal that is constructed, should it be constructed, should be south of Valley to mitigate any impacts that it would have on the residential community of El Sereno. And so the intent of putting the second part of the motion in is to assure us that all impacts are included, that we give it an emphasis to make sure we are examining any portal that would go in north of Valley Boulevard. So I'll keep that item there. I do have a question. The analysis that will be conducted, is there a geographic analysis? Do we say we're looking at this area, or do you look at the project and just kind of come up with things as they come up? For example, there may be some impacts through this construction that may happen all the way south to the 10 junction. So will that be examined in this EIR?
Yes, sir. It will need to be examined as a portion of this EIR. And in fact, we're having a series of meetings now with Caltrans and others to determine a process that goes forward, making sure that we have a lot of public participation in scoping, looking broadly, because we have five zones and a process that will begin to go through with public input to create more definition before we begin some a very detailed analysis of as we go forward.
Great, thank you. So again, I want to delete the first part of this, my motion, and continue have the second part remain that deals with the portal and the examination, the emphasis of the environmental impacts north of the Valley should a portal be built, be examined.
Yes, sir, understood.
Now, Mr. Failing, would that be done anyway? I mean, I like that motion. I fully support it, but let's say I'm concerned about the north portal. Would it be required to put that in a motion? Isn't that just a pro forma, not pro forma, but a required analysis
portals?
At any portal location.
The portal location should be thoroughly analyzed. I believe the intent in Director Wiesauer's motion, I'll let him comment on that, is we've had some discussion here about us looking at and determining that we think the portal can be south of Valley and might propose that. But we wouldn't, with that discussion, we wouldn't necessarily look at a portal north of there and discuss the negative impacts of that. I think the direction is to make sure that we document that thoroughly in this analysis. And that's the one case where we've discussed a portal location. So I believe that's the intent. I believe, yes, I understand the reason for putting it forward. I thoroughly understand a concern others will have of where a north portal might be, and that as locations are developed, we would certainly document the impacts of the location of the portal, where that portal will be, although we wouldn't necessarily document locations where the portal isn't going to be proposed. I think that's a slight difference here in this case, sir.
Okay.
Well, the part of it is that we don't know where the portals will be. And so as a legislative body that one day will decide where these portals will be, we're giving direction to the environmental review team that we want these particular impacts examined should any of the future project come up with portals in that area.
And, of course, that presumes that a tunnel is the mode that
and we're nowhere near those decisions yet.
So just correct. To make sure we're keeping it, Director Katz. Director Katz.
I'm sorry. There was a D that I was going to add on mine when it's appropriate. So you let me know what the time to do that is.
If no one else would like to take the floor, I'll give it to you.
I was just going to add, as we have, neutral analysis, community input in the process, cost-benefit analysis at the time of the draft EIR, and that the scoping document should look at all alternatives, across all alternatives, all modes, and all...
What is it? Zones.
I'm sorry?
Zones.
Zones. Thank you. That was the word I was
looking for. You're welcome, sir.
Zones, the scoping document should evaluate, all alternatives, all zones, and all modes.
Okay. Yes, sir. We agree.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. So that'll be an additional point to your...
Right. That'll be D.
Modify your...
That'll be D on mine.
Okay.
I'll take my friendly amendment.
Okay. You got it.
Thank you.
There are several cards for speakers. Let's go to Barbara Messina, followed by Julianne Hines, Dr. Bill Sherman,
thank you, Mr. Chair, board members, Barbara Messina, Alhambra City Councilwoman. I would just like to urge your support and vote to accept all of the staff's recommendations. We feel that it is time to move this project forward. It is a much-needed transportation project for the whole region, and Alhambra supports the portal south of Valley Boulevard. Thank you.
Thank you, Julianne Hines, followed by Dr. Bill Sherman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am happy to be here today on behalf of Assemblymember Portantino, who is in Sacramento attending to his legislative business. However, he has asked me to come and reiterate to you today his stance that a cost-benefit analysis and this full scoping document are good. However, they should be done before the EIR. Moving to an environmental process prior to these studies and looking at really what is the most effective solution is the epitome of putting the cart before the horse. Without knowing how many vehicles you're moving, without knowing how much it's going to cost to do so, there is no basis from which to move forward to make informed, effective decisions on behalf of the people to whom we are all accountable as policymakers. Thank you.
Dr. Bill Sherman. Billy.
She had to leave too.
Clyde Williams.
She had to leave.
Joanne Knuckles. She's here.
Oh, here he is. Joanne Knuckles, representing Communities Against the 710 Freeway.
And I'm passing out this chart again, which I passed out at the last meeting, and I think every meeting I come to, I'm going to pass it out because it has to do with the cost estimates for this tunnel so far over the last 20 years. But I'd like to say today that the interesting discussion that you had on number 47 about the evaluation of project cost increases was very to the point of this project. If you want to prevent cost overruns in the future projects, you must understand the true cost before you start down the path for a project like the 710 North tunnels, which seems to be the favored mode at this point. Before you spend more tens of millions of dollars on an EIR, get an accurate cost analysis of this project. So that's why I support that portion of Member Katz's motion. I also support the part of Member Wiesar's motion that he eliminated because other attorneys disagree with your county council, and we oppose Antonovich's and Fasana's motion because it has no direct mechanism for direct citizen participation.
Clyde Williams.
Dr. Clyde Williams, 4115 Barrett Road, El Sereno, Northeast LA. Why are we here? 48. The basic element is transparency, public participation, and community inputs. Caltrans had their problem with the geotechnical. They didn't try to really deal with it until it was too late. Trust. We don't have much trust in words such as consider. We don't have much trust in the words advisory committee when they don't include the provision of public participation. I have submitted in writing my recommendations on changes of all three sets of the motions. But the central core is public participation needs to be done because this would affect 500 houses in the district of El Sereno, and we don't like that. Thank you.
Carol Kramer.
Well, Don is here.
Hey, Don.
Good morning.
You're here. How are you doing?
It's a pleasure to be here with you. I wanted to talk about trust, and trust is a victim of this process and how one builds trust. I think you build trust through service to the public. I know I've worked with Mr. Antonovich's staff on getting funding for Sybil Brand Institute. I worked with Ms. Pimbigian there to build up an issue of trust with us in the Sheriff's Department. I've worked with several of you folks here. I've walked precincts for a couple of you people that have been elected here, and you know that the trust comes from service to the community. I'm here because I represent El Sereno La Red. Over 400 homes that are affected by the 710 are in the community of El Sereno, and one of the things that we've noticed that erodes trust is the 17% vacancy of homes. There's over 75 residences here. Some have been vacant over 20 years. In a time of possibility, it's a shame to do that. The other thing that erodes public trust or trust in this process is the targeting and eviction of leaders of the Tenants Association. I myself and my wife have been evicted three times. Three times we've gone to court and been successful in defeating it. Two times we're on appeal for the third time. This is a waste of money targeting of us. And I just want to tell you that we appreciate your courtesy in allowing us to talk. We'd ask that you please consider a moratorium on evictions. Thank you, Antonio.
Thank you. Carol Kramer.
Fasana, Katz, Molina, Antonovich, and Caltrans have all promoted expanding the lower 710 with dedicated truck lanes and a northern extension because they claim it will help commuter traffic and pollution. But this is false. The paperwork put out by MetroCog and SCAG makes it clear that this is being done for the sole purpose of helping shipping interests find a route for a major increase in cargo traffic. Caltrans' own documents show that this truck traffic will result in massive congestion of our L.A. freeways and pump deadly pollution into our lungs. I'm not against business, and I understand the need to move cargo, but there are non-polluting options now available, such as electric rail and electric cargo trams, that can remove this cargo traffic from our inner-city freeways. Knowing this, why are you still pushing dedicated trucking lanes and a tunnel? If you honestly want to represent the stakeholders of this region, you will remove any wording from your motions that suggest expanding or extending freeways for cargo trucks, and instead focus only on solutions that also benefit residents of the region. Thank you.
Thank you. Carol Teutsch. Is that the correct pronunciation?
That is, Teutsch. I'm a physician living in the Mount Washington area, and I wanted to start by asking how many people in this room have come here by public transportation. I see no hands raised and assume that either there's a reluctance
Two. Oh,
good. Okay. Well, those I commend, because that's what this is about. Transportation is every citizen's responsibility and choice, and the board should be leading by example. If the public transportation system is not good enough to get you all to your jobs, then it has a need to have greater solutions for the region. We live in some of the worst air quality in the nation, and this is the air we're breathing every day. We know scientifically that poor air quality from fossil fuel exhaust has very detrimental effects on our health and especially on our children's health. We want other solutions than a tunnel and more highway traffic. Thank you.
Thank you. Marielena Hernandez.
Thank you. The only entities promoting the tunnels are Mr. Flailing, Caltrans engineers, J.P. Morgan, and the investment bankers, and all who will benefit from the lobbying dollars from Dragados. Our struggling state and local contractors and businesses will not benefit. The proposed 710 tunnels under the historic Northeast Los Angeles districts would do nothing to effectively link the 710 to the 210. It is a long, convoluted, circuitous route designed by an alien that serves none but the lost. There are no benefits for those who live along the proposed route, yet all of the risks, hazards, and consequences will be imposed on those residents. What the city needs is an intelligent mass and rail clean transit plan instead of wasting billions on a real loser. We insist that on there being active community participation in all decision-making levels. And I grew up in the area, and this is tragic if it goes through.
Susan Boland. Susan Boland.
Hi, Susan Boland, La Crescenta, Glendale. This has always been about closing the gap. During the year leading up to the vote on item 17 last month, nowhere was it discussed how the streets would be repaired in Alhambra and El Sereno to improve traffic flow. Nowhere was it discussed that multimode transportation alternatives could be considered instead of a tunnel. And nowhere was it admitted that the main purpose of the project was to move cargo from the ports to locations outside the city. The goal of this project has always been to extend the 710 freeway, to close the gap. Look at the wording of the motions. I'm sure that the scoping and alternatives analysis that everyone keeps assuring will be far-reaching, wide-reaching, will still only focus on ways to close the gap. The process needs direct public participation to ensure that all reasonable options are considered, not just stooge committees, to receive timely updates and presentations. Wow. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Nancy Campo from Northeast LA, from United Against 10 and Communities Against the 710. I am submitting three mayors' oppositions to the 710 tunnels and their suggestions, 125 letters addressed to the board,
and thousands of signatures of people, private citizens, not paid, private citizens, firmly opposed to having their neighborhoods, their homes, and their very security ruined by any tunnels. We also remind the board and loudly remind LA members of the board that the city of Los Angeles has unanimously passed a resolution against allowing any tunnels to be built anywhere within city boundaries. The cities of Glendale, La Cañada, Flint Ridge, and South Pasadena have even stronger resolutions. Last month, you had paid tunnel advocates speaking to you. This month, you had thousands of unpaid voices against it. We are more numerous, more irate, much more to lose. Thank you.
Faber.
Bravo!
I say thank you. Okay. We're not doing this thing where it... Raymond Aramburu? Is that the way you pronounce your name?
Yes. Yeah. Aramburu, if you wish.
Aramburu.
Well, I'm a resident of Glassell Park, have been since 1973. I'm sort of come late into the move in here opposing the tunnel. My main objectives, of course, are that the tunnel may have unresolved consequences, you know, the pollution, et cetera. I think these points have been discussed abundantly. My concern is transparency and citizen participation in the form of decision making, and I hope that the board takes that into consideration.
Thank you. Very much, Mr. Isaac Silverman. Isaac Silverman. When I call your name, just tell us you're here, so because we know you. Thank you.
I'm here representing NRDC and our tens of thousands of members throughout Southern California. That's Natural Resources Defense Council. We believe extending the 710 freeway to Pasadena would disrupt local communities and increase emissions in areas already impacted by unsafe levels of air pollution. A federal district court has faulted existing environmental analyses of extending the 710 freeway for completely failing to analyze particulate matter pollution hotspots. EPA has stated, the regional administrator of EPA has stated that extending the 710 is not critical to complying with transportation conformity in the South Coast Air Quality Management District. Indeed, the well-documented result of building more roads is bringing more cars and trucks. And although more thorough analysis is certainly necessary, we believe that increasing the number of cars and trucks hauling cargo on our roads is an unlikely way to reduce air pollution in the San Gabriel Valley.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Two spellings of the same name, and so maybe two different people. One is Judy Barrast. Resser, and the other one is Judy Bress-Tresser.
It's actually Judy Bergstresser. I just have terrible writing. Sorry.
Yeah, well, and you also submitted two different... Somebody submitted one for you, so there's two of them. But
that's quite possible. I'd like to support the Huizar motion and also ask you, Director Huizar, to bring your first element back. I think that all the board should know that CEQA very clearly states that it only requires an analysis of alternatives that reduce adverse impacts. So the EIR process and the scoping process do not need to include a surface route. It's already been amply proven to be much more polluting than any other alternative out there. And I think the NRDC letter of 16 June backs that very clearly. Your legal counsel should be confirmed. So I'd like to ask that you bring that portion back in your motion, and that it be continued as part of the scoping document.
Thank you very much. Lee Dully. Lee Dully. Mr. Dully, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Let us know when you're here.
Members of the board, Mr. Chairman, what a great day. This board has accomplished so much in the last couple of years. Measure R is attributable to your wisdom. The long-range plan, as well, is attributable in a real interesting organization here. The TIP and the FTIP and the RTIP, and then all of the authorizations for environmental studies that have been undertaken in the last 6 months to a year or more. That's huge progress here. We support Director Katz's motion. We support Director Huizar's motion. We support also the Antonovich motion with John Fasano. Lastly, environmental impact reports will answer the questions we asked today.
Thank you very much, sir. Jan Suhu. Thank you, Ms. Suhu. I did pronounce it again. I have a just, I always feel compelled to pronounce people's names correctly since mine is oftentimes. Ms.
Oh,
please.
Okay.
Yeah, Villa Rosa, right?
Whatever the outcome of your votes today, I'm hoping that you will be ordering true neutral studies of alternatives, and I'm here to urge you to mandate that an inland port concept be one of those alternatives. It's time for all stakeholders, rail, Caltrans, Metro, the ports, in Southern California transportation to collaborate on meaningful forward-thinking planning for our region. This is imperative given the projected growth in our ports in the upcoming years. Metro has the opportunity to take a leadership role in this process. An inland port, when coupled with clean, cost-effective method like cargo rail or its analog for moving containers between the ports and inland port, would significantly reduce congestion, reduce pollution, reduce lost productivity due to delays on our freeways, due to big rig-involved accidents, and save taxpayer dollars.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You may... When you haven't finished your comments, if you have them written, you could always give them to the secretary and they can provide us with copies. Harry Knapp. Thank you, Mr. Knapp.
Harry Knapp, South Pasadena. I wrote you a letter via email yesterday. I hope you all had a chance to read it. Did ask you to use some common sense in making your decisions on this. I can support the COTS motion if it was amended to take the concurrent analysis out. Number one does look like an original needs and use study for the, quotes, gap closure. Otherwise, to do it concurrently, you're doing an EIR and search for project. You don't have a project. Mr. Filling just admitted that. So you can't really do an EIR until you have a defined project. So I think that COTS motion is very good if we just... You don't have concurrent studies going on. Huizar motion is very good. I support that. I think the other motion is a little bit top-heavy. It's a top-down approach to it rather than a bottom-up approach. So I would support the first two motions. And ask you to look at the money. Supervisor Molina admonished that when voting for the funding for the current...
Excuse me for a second. Where's the time monitor? I figured.
Give me 10 seconds.
I'll let you 10 seconds, but we've already gone beyond.
In 2007, Supervisor Molina admonished that she didn't want to spend good money after bad in voting for the current geotechnical study. I think you're leading in that direction.
Thank you very much. Clarice Knapp. Clarice Knapp. You here? Yes. I can't see the waving. Thank you.
You may think that tunnels are out of sight and out of mind, but air pollution research is really solid at this point that it's never going to be out of our lungs. LA's finally headed to be a world-class city. Thank you, Mayor Villaraigosa. There isn't a capital that we've been to that we haven't gotten out of the car, parked it, and taken public transit. Why would you siphon off $5.6 billion of Measure R from a legitimate taxpayer-supported program like 3010 for the 12 transit projects, jeopardizing LA's best bet for the future? Please think about that. Katz is right. All alternatives, all modes, All zones should be incorporated. There's very little public participation in Molina and Fasana measure. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrea Joanne Seski. Andrea Joanne Seski. Ms. Joanne Seski. Pamela Marquez. Thank you. Pamela Marquez is here.
Good afternoon. I'm Pamela Marquez, 36-year resident and homeowner in the in El Sereno's Emery Park tract. My point is really simple. Shall you build a portal in a residential neighborhood which would eliminate over 200 homes and devastate the Emery Park community with construction for up to 12 years, or move the portal south of Valley Boulevard where the freeway now ends and no homes will be involved? Please finally put this in writing and approve motions 48A and B, and also require that any portal begin and end south of Valley Boulevard on any further studies, reports, or project plans. And since I have some time left, yes, I did take the Metro Gold Line in today. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary Ann Parada. Followed by John Walsh.
In the 2006 Metro study on the 710 tunnel, you state the costs of $2.6 billion to $3.6 billion. These figures are for construction costs only. They are $2006 dollars, and it doesn't include the following. There's no allowance for escalation costs, even though the project will not be built for 10 years. There's no cost for environmental mitigation, no cost for community impact requirements, no cost for electrostatic precipitators or scrubbers. There is no cost for land acquisition for the smokestacks. There is no cost for project design. There's no cost for construction management, no cost for toll facilities, and no cost for tunnel O&M, operations and maintenance. This massive project needs a full and complete cost-benefit analysis before it runs into a project overruns before the EIR. Thank you.
I wrote a poem to express my feelings. Don't close the 710 gap. That's a bunch of... No more freeway trucking or the public will take a royal... And as far as two people up here said they took public transportation, they all get passes. You know that. Anybody who works at MTA gets a pass. So it's free for them. And as you missed the good news, Mr. Mayor, two free tickets to the next U.S. soccer game. They're right there at the box office in Johannesburg. You've been there before. Just ask for John Walsh. Thank you.
Arnold Sachs. Sachs is followed by Val Marquez.
Yes, thank you again. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. I think the key to Councilman Wiesar's motion is the beginning, where he says, since 1960, the closure of the 710 gap has been studied. That's 50 years. 50 years here, 50 years on Wilshire Boulevard, 50 years on the Blue Line to Pasadena, 50 years, 50 years, 50 years. Where is the benchmark for these studies? And speaking of portals and EIR report, you could Roski the EIR report if you wanted to, maybe. But with the portals, there's not a study for a no portal, like entrance in, but no entrance out.
Mr. Chairman, those years are concurrent, not consecutive.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any other cards. Besides Mr. Marquez?
Yeah, I was the last one last month, and I wasn't able to speak, so I'm glad I get a chance today. My name is Valentin Marquez from El Sereno. I'm a founder of Concerned Neighbors of El Sereno and also a 36-year resident. I'm here actually. I'm also a LA 32 Neighborhood Council member and a president of Ascot Hill Parks Advisory Board. I have to beg to differ with what you said earlier regarding the portal location. In 2006, the 710 tunnel feasibility study indicated a portal in El Sereno in a residential. And it seems like nobody knows about this, but it's in writing. And so my concern is that we had a study, and apparently that study is not being followed according to the meetings I've attended. And so what I'm asking you, if you're going to go forward with this, let's move the portal south of Valley Boulevard and make sure that our community is safe and not demolished by this portal. Anyway, I had more to say, but thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I don't have any other cards on this item. Is there discussion, Mr. Fasana?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to point out, after all the speakers have come forward, those that support, those that oppose, that the Major R Expenditure Plan does define this project as Interstate 710 North Gap Closure Tunnel. So I think there is a fair frame of reference in terms of what the project is. I also think that doesn't mean you head from Alhambra south, around the South Pole, back around and over the North Pole and down south to Pasadena. I think there's kind of an idea geographically of where this is. I support the motion in terms of looking at all alternatives, looking at all modes, keeping the zones in play. At the same time, there's not the intent to spend all $780 million on this study as well in Major R. We're going to do the study. We're going to get some answers back. We will have significant funds from Major R still in reserve when the study is done, and then we will determine as a board, based on the input received, whether this is still feasible to go forward and whether there's, frankly, private sector interest in coming up with that gap in terms of funding to move this project forward. But I think this action is timely. Really, the action occurred last month. I'm okay with the clarifying motions that have been made today, and I'm ready to move forward.
Okay. Are there any comments? I have a couple questions. Let me go to Director Huizar.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to address the speaker who mentioned that there's some different opinions on the legal recommendation we got from our council. I will go back and have further discussions, and if you have any information you want to give to my office, please do, of different opinions, and I'll be happy to look at those. Okay, thank you.
I have a couple questions and comments. The first is, I guess the issue has been bothering me. When we do an EIR, you need a project, a definition of a project. What is the definition, what is the project that the EIR would be dealing with in this?
The definition is to address the congestion that results in the Los Angeles basin due to the missing gap of the SR 710.
Okay. So the project would be...
The project definition needs to address congestion.
Right. So the congestion is in there. Does it presume that as the measure R argument or the measure R proposition indicated that it's a extension of the interstate highway?
The environmental definition, its purpose and need cannot make that presumption.
So whatever measure R said is not binding on moving forward with the EIR.
We need to be in compliance with both CEQA and NEPA as we move forward, independent of Measure R and other directions.
Okay. My next question is with regard to Mr. Katz's motion and as amended. What happens at the end of the day? So let's say they both start now, like a shotgun start, if you will, right on the golf course. His three analyses, three or more, are being conducted. The EIR is being conducted. At some point down the road, is there a reconciliation process between what findings, if any, come out of the CATS, a series of components and the EIR process.
Most of what Director Katz has identified in his motion are guidance that will be utilized during the EIR process. The one exception was, I believe, his item C, which was that there's a parallel cost-benefit analysis that meets together at the end of the draft EIR process. That gives the board information as you're filing an environmental document as to whether there's a project you wish to proceed ahead with or not. It's both, can this project be cleared environmentally, but then at that point in time, is there a reason for is there a financially feasible project that should be moved forward based upon either available or projected funding, which is that's the time at which these processes, which do run in parallel on all projects, do meet together for a board to make a decision on proceeding ahead or not. Most of the other three items that in Mr. Katz's motion are direction that are a part of the EIR and guidance on how to move forward.
Okay, in the EIR process, will there be analysis as to whether a light rail line may solve the congestion?
We anticipate, and usually we try and approach scoping open-minded and through both the public input and the agency input, take that in. We are anticipating that that will be a recommendation that will come forward that we will analyze.
Will there be an analysis of making little, if any, structure changes to the roadway, but removal of freight from the terminus or from the 710 by way of additional freight lines or additional freight use? Is that an analysis that's
one I would also anticipate will be suggested that we look at? Correct.
And then there was this whole low-build, multi-mode alternative that has been around for many years. Is that something that would be looked at?
I do anticipate that will also come up through scoping and be looked at, correct.
Okay. Okay, with regard to the public participation process and sort of what the Antonovich-Fasana motion has going, if they didn't have their motion, if their motion is not on the table, what rights do the public have to participate in this EIR process?
In scoping in and of itself, the process would normally be one or two very public meetings at which the public comes and puts forward all of their ideas that should be included in your scoping of the project. In addition, there is at least one and sometimes two agency meetings. So the cities and the counties and air quality districts are invited. Those meetings are also open to the public. And input is given to the agencies, the responsible agencies under CEQA and EPA as to the number of items that should be considered. Those agencies would normally then go through scoping, narrow that down to a more feasible set of alternatives that addresses the purpose and need. You would begin going through a more detailed environmental document process on those alternatives that survive as you go through the scoping process. And there is a minimum of one and sometimes several, depends on the size of the project, of public hearings that are held under CEQA and NEPA if you are doing a full EIR, EIS. So there are public hearings that are a legal requirement to be held, especially if you're doing a full EIR, EIS. If the project is headed down the direction of being a negative declaration finding of no significant impact, which I do not anticipate in this project, but it is a category under CEQA and NEPA in which a project might fit, then the legal requirement under those processes, as I understand it, is to file for a notice of public hearing, and if no one wants one, then you don't have one, and if people respond they would like one, then you would have one.
Okay.
So that, those are the legal processes.
The Katz motion talks about community involvement through every step. How does that change from the straight, does that give the public any greater input than were you just to do the straight EIR process?
Based on that direction to us at staff, we are not to follow the minimum legally required EIS, EIR process. We are to create a process which at multiple steps, both through scoping and then in the EIS, EIR process, gives an opportunity for the public to have input. In addition, there's one or more of the motions makes a recommendation recommendation of continuing forward with some additional processes similar to what's happening on 710 South, or a combination of that and what's happening on 710 North, at which there's steering committees and technical advisory committees which are open to the public. I would interpret that direction to make sure that those motions not just be advisory committees, but are also open for public comment.
Okay, that's the Antonovich motion and Fasano.
That's a portion of the Antonovich. Yes, yeah, so I'm looking at the holistic.
So you would see their motion as adding, would you say it would be expanding public participation, yep, or restricting it as compared to what Mr. Katz is requesting?
I see them both being additive, not mutually exclusive, neither really more restrictive. Mr. Katz's motion is maybe a little more clear in his intent on that issue. I didn't see anything restrictive in the motion that came forward from Supervisor Antonovich and Fasana, Director Fasana. Sorry, I just promoted him.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Let me suggest something. Mr. Failing mentioned 710. The 710 has a whole gibbygob of committees where they've had public input. They're doing an air quality study. They're looking at huge impacts, possible impacts on neighborhoods, and they've been very successful in reaching out and getting response from the community. And I would suggest that might offer a blueprint that we should use on projects of this size. It's been very, very successful.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure that's... I've heard that that's been very successful in getting the community involved, but I'm not sure anyone has adopted that, or we have a specific motion directing the board to, or directing staff to proceed in that manner. That's my only... but I had heard it was
and maybe
it was
that's
very
something
successful.
We can do in the future. I don't want... I'm not sure...
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak on this? Okay, why don't we, let's bring everyone in. We're, do you have any discussion or any comments on your motion or any of the other motions? There's no further public comment, and the directors seem to have...
I'll move it as amended if it has to be.
Okay, so let's do 48A, and I believe they had the amendment in there as amended. Why don't we use the machines for 48A, this is otherwise known as the Katz motion.
This is the Katz motion.
If there's anyone else back in the back room, please.
My thing's not working.
Turn the machines on, please. Katz motion as amended.
It's okay. Our machines aren't. Oh, there it is.
Okay. Okay, Katz motion passes. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Let's move to the next item, which is 48B, the Huizar motion, as modified. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, let's clear the machines and do the Huizar motion. Huizar motion. Okay, Huizar motion passed. Let's do this is 48C, the Antonovich and Fasana motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
We can vote. Okay. That motion passes as well. We are now left with the Chief Executive Officer's report.
Thank you. Very quickly, I'd just like to note that over the past 20 years, the MTA has been a rail operator, and during that time, we've developed an outstanding maintenance team at the National Rodeo for 4 years in a row. MTA has been the highest-ranked maintenance department in the railroad. George Kennedy, are you still here? George? Yeah. Come on up, please. Make it fast. I'd like to introduce the winners to you.
Good afternoon. I will make it fast, I promise.
Certainly the team that we represent at the International Rodeo, it does an excellent job for us. For the past 7 years, they've either come in first or second place. Ronnie Burt, Eric Sintos, two out of the three, Glenn Abraham couldn't make it, and our senior instructor, Gary Dewater, have diligently represented the MTA at the International Rodeo, and they have done a great job. They represent themselves, they represent Metro, and of course they represent their union, and we want to recognize them here today. Thank you.
I'm proud. I was an operator for 2 weeks before I had my first accident. So,
Art took all his cones out.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
Congratulations.
How you doing?
You guys are amazing. They are
brakes. Who needs brakes?
Those all left.
Yeah, but you know what? I bet they're gone.
There's like 10. There's 10. Maybe we'll knock it off.
Gotta make sure we make. Oh yeah, we gotta cut a little bit of bus service out, but we're not going out of business. We're gonna be here for as long as any of us care. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, all right,
direct.
Yeah. Those are fighting words.
I think we have three public speakers. Okay. Thank you. Before we go to closed session, I have Dr. Williams, Kimberly Richards. Are you done, Mr. Leahy? I'm sorry. Okay. Dr. Clyde Williams, Kimberly Richards, Antonio Lopez. Jose Ceja.
Starting to look like I may be it.
I think.
Mr. Chairman, remaining directors. I had a different speech in mind today, but I think I'll hold it for next month when the subject of my speech will be here, those being the people in the yellow shirts. Instead, I would like to use this moment to remind you that today is a milestone in history. It was 10 years ago today that the Metro Red Line MOS 3 to North Hollywood began service. Look how far we've come in the 10 years since. I leave you with that today.
Thank you. Antonio Lopez? We have an interpreter for Mr. Lopez?
Buenas tardes, mesa directiva.
Good evening, board.
En el día, en el mes que estamos, junio 9.
This month, June the 9th.
El año 2010.
Of year 2010.
He pedido a mi Dios con todo mi corazón
I requested
y mi alma
with all my heart and
para
my soul.
Que cada uno descienda en sus trabajos y lleve la energía para que sirva cada uno.
For en la, of you to have
la energía sagrada de nuestros planetas, que es Mercurio, Venus, Tierra, Marte, Júpiter, Saturno, Uranio, Neptuno y Plutón.
For the energy of the planets to come down on you to be able to work.
Para que ese certificado de colegio y universidad y una diploma que cada uno de ustedes sirvan.
For the degrees that you have from the university, for those degrees to be able to be useful.
Así sea por las áreas que sean y sirvan en los lugares que sirvan, con los seres que les acompañen cerca o lejos.
In the areas and places and for the people that is close to you.
Acuérdense que yo siempre peleo por un certificado y espero que ustedes, cada uno de ustedes, tenga el reconocimiento. ¿Qué es un certificado? ¿Qué es un sistema diplomático? ¿Y qué es una energía? ¿Y qué es pedir a Dios con el corazón y el alma para todos juntos?
I'm always fighting for a title, and I hope that you are able to use your titles, and I hope that God bless you.
Dios los bendiga a todos.
All of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don Jong. Mr. Don Jong. Jose Ceja. John Walsh.
You know, Antonio Lopez should play the harmonica. He plays European classical music on the harmonica at a professional level. Art Leahy, that's true. 2 weeks after you started as an operator, you had an accident. You ran me over, remember? I'm still, you know, it still hurts. And as far as the red line is concerned, in 1990, in the EIR from the 80s, it said 298,000 boardings a day, weekday, by 1990. 20 years later, you're at 145,000 boardings. You're not even halfway there. And I'd like to know what happened to the 8 a.m. special meeting. Was there action? Did you take care of the tutor business? And if you did, I would ask for the information from Mr. Safer. Thank you.
Thank you. Arnold Sachs.
Was there action?
Maria Hernandez, Nancy Campo.
Yes, thank you. Arnold Sachs. And also, a 10-year anniversary of the Red Line. I always thought the Red Line was the line that went from Union Station to Wilshire Western. That was the Red Line, because the Red Line was going to be the line out that Mayor Bradley wanted to go out to Santa Monica. What's the status of that? Oh, it changed to purple. The purple's red, this, that. But seriously, the arrogance that's shown by the board. You know, Supervisor Molina was upset when the funding was used for Measure R as an informative measure. But when the LA Times prints ads for Metro that trumpet the funding for the Gold Line Foothill Extension Construction Authority, even though you took measures for the Blue Line Construction Authority to get the funding, it's mind-boggling. So informative measures are good. Informative measures are bad. Lying to the public is good. Your arrogance is mind-boggling.
You. That's all I have for public comment. We're going into closed session, and I do have some comment cards for closed session. Goldie Norton, Arnold Sachs, and John Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The MTA has a policy where if an operator has three accidents in an 18-month period, he's subject to discharge. Unfortunately, a blown tire or a busted mirror counts just as much as an expensive non-injury accident. We'd like to ask you, when you give your labor relations people the instructions, that they be given some latitude in determining what kind of accidents add up to the three within 60, rather than having two blown tires and a busted mirror causing a discharge, whereas two major accidents without injury and the operator is still there. Thank you.
Thank you. John Walsh?
All I want to know is what happened this morning.
We will report out if there's anything to report out. Mr. Sachs?
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. You may have known or heard or read about the negotiations that were occurring in the city of Los Angeles regarding their budget, how they managed to save money by laying people off is only going to cost the city $28 million. The point being, they set a benchmark when they renegotiated the contract that stated that if there were any layoffs involved, the city would pay $28 million in pay raises, at least $28 million. It'll go up because it's being offset by this furlough. Please, We need to know that because the city had the opportunity with an ERIP program, an early retirement program, that would have eliminated the need for any layoffs if they hadn't capped it. So the amount of people laid off, around 250 people, wouldn't cost $28 million in an ERIP program. They reward...
Thank you.
They reward failure. We have enough of that with the MTA. Give us a little bit of string.
This morning, the board met in closed session at a special meeting. There was no reportable action taken at that time. Board meeting, June 24th, 2010. The MTA board met in closed session and took the following reportable actions. On item 49A1, Stevens versus MTA, case number BC419329. The board approved a settlement in the amount of $650,000. Item 49A2, Schmolder versus MTA, case number SC103328. The board approved a settlement in the sum of $650,000. There's no further reportable action taken at the regular meeting.